Hallelujah. Let's pray for the word. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, watch over your word to fulfill it in our lives. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We receive everything. Thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word guides us and directs us in our paths and everything we do. As we continue to walk and fulfill your purpose, O God, it is your will and nothing else. Lord, that everything we do here on this planet Earth, O God, shall be fulfilled. Lord, that your intent, your purpose, and your will be established on this earth, O God. And we thank you. Watch over your word. Inspire your people. Lord, let them receive, Lord, not just the word, but the spirit of the word that will ignite it inside their hearts. Lord, to strengthen them, O God. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Watch over your word now to fulfill it. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Everybody said? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody said? Amen. Oh, you're still awake. Hallelujah. Everyone okay? With all this craziness going around us at this time that we live in, the church must still be relevant. The church must still move. The church must not go off track and not focus on the mission that God has given us. Amen? Hallelujah. We're here to fulfill His purpose, His calling, and His will and His intent. Everything has to be done whilst you and I still have breath in our lives. Amen? You are alive because God has a purpose for you. You're staying, you're sitting in this room today because God has a purpose for you. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you that this is truly a time of testing for many of us. Amen? Many Christians, many church, many people that call themselves the follower of Christ or believers in Jesus Christ, this is a testing time for most of us. Last week I spoke about staying on your cross. Picking up your cross, following Christ, but not just following Him, staying on your cross when times of hardship or times of testing comes against your walk in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. As that epidemic spreads across the world, I just want to introduce my message to you this morning. My message hasn't shifted. We are still on 2020 God first mindset shift. He who has ears, let him hear. A powerful statement from our Lord Jesus Christ when He made that statement. As that epidemic spreads across the world and fear is spreading, people that do not know God are in fear. Unfortunately, those who also know God are in fear. Amen? Oh, it's quiet. That means there's some of them inside the building today. Hallelujah. Come on. Unfortunately, many have fallen into the trap, gripped with fear, because the principalities and powers of high places will influence you. Amen? Satan owns the media. Let me just say that again. Satan owns the media. So he has already an advantage that he uses to create fear. If you're a man and a woman that follows television, or I call it hellavision, or Facebook, and you listen to all sorts of fake news that is thrown at you, that is the devil creating the fear so that you, yourself, the person that knows Christ, knowing that you have what? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in God, should be making decisions based on not the fear or all the stuff that you're hearing from television, but based on the promise of God. Amen? Hallelujah. He owns the media. The Bible tells us that Satan is the what? Prince of the power of the air. Everything that is floating around in the air, including the microwave and the megawave and all the airwaves that you use, especially in radio and television, he owns that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2 says that, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Verse 2 says, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of what? The air. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." If you're a person that relies on news and puts your faith in the media, You are going to be living in fear and gripped by fear all your life. I'm talking to Christians now. I am not talking to a person that do not know Christ. Hallelujah. All electronic magnetic waves, especially radio and television, are all controlled by the devil. And he is using that to put fear in the hearts of the people. Turn your TV on and all you can hear is rebellion and disobedience. Everything that comes from television is rebellion and disobedience. Hallelujah. And you believe everything they tell you on television, which causes you to become what? Fearful. As long as the devil have you cowering in the corner or at your house, he is winning the battle. Hallelujah. All he has to do is create fear. All he has to do is speak something, a voice over what God has purposed for you, and you start to feel fear. The example was when David walked down and said, "Who is this, what? Uncircumcised Philistines that dare to come against the army of the living God." Hallelujah. Your God is living and alive. He is the only God that is alive today. Buddha is dead. Allah is dead. Everybody is dead. Including Confucius is dead. Allah Selassie is dead. Rastafarian is dead. Everything dead except your God who is alive. Hallelujah. He says, who dares comes against the what? The army of the living God. Hallelujah. He calls it the living God. You worship a God that is living today, my friends. Hallelujah. He's alive and well, living inside of you. Hallelujah. And so there is no need to fear when we come to a place like where we are right now in this age and time that we are living in. Hallelujah. Jesus taught us three lessons regarding fear. Number one, fear is an illusion. Somebody say illusion. Turn to your neighbor and says, wow, I didn't know that. Fear is an illusion. Hallelujah. Satan always speaks fear to our faith so that we can lose focus and make the wrong interpretations in fear. Christians, I'm telling you, you should not be making wrong interpretations based on fear or emotional feelings. You are not created to make decisions based on your emotions. You're created to make decisions on the Word of God. Hallelujah. All the promises of God, you make your decisions based on this book, not on your feelings or your own emotions. Hallelujah. Satan uses that to come against you all the time. And he creates this illusion. The disciples, out of fear, made the wrong interpretation. They said, can't you see we are about to drown in the middle of a storm when Christ Jesus himself was in the same boat with them? Can't you see we're about to drown? Christians walking around carrying the power of God inside of you, saying we are about to drown. Let this word this morning stir something up inside your spirit this morning. Let it encourage you. Let it get you to a place where you will never walk in fear in the midst of crisis. Hallelujah. Jesus then spoke faith to their fears. He says, where is your faith? He was addressing the fear that was created inside the disciples. The only way a true believer or follower of Christ Jesus can stand apart from every other religion, including Christianity, read my lips, Christianity and other worldviews, centers in one thing, and that is Jesus' redemptive response to fear. Notice I mentioned Christianity in there. Yes, I mentioned Christianity in there because there's a lot of unbelieving believers inside the church. Oh, yes, we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you? Are you prepared to believe him all the way through on your cross? Are you prepared to believe him all the way through on the promises that he has given us? Hallelujah. There is a lot of unbelieving believers inside the church. Yes, that's why I call it Christianity. But you, my friends, you are not. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You're a kingdom-minded person. You understand kingdom things and kingdom principles. You understand the seasons and the times that we live in. Hallelujah. We should live in the present and trust the future to God. That's why he says what? Today is the day. This is the day that you have made, that I will rejoice and be glad in it. You rejoice on this day today. Tomorrow takes care of itself. Leave the future to God, my friends, and live today as your day. Because you're creating it, and you're living in it, and you're breathing in it. You may never leave tomorrow, or you may do something else tomorrow, but that's not yours to worry about. That's His to worry about. Live today, live the future to God. Hallelujah. That's what He wants us to do. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, He says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be what? Anxious for itself. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Today is yours. You can feel it. You can touch it. You can smell it. It's yours. Live it. And don't let fear determine your life. Hallelujah. Live today because he has given it to you. Rejoice in it because He has given it to you. Hallelujah. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Oh, I love Jesus. I love the wisdom of our Lord. Amen. He says, sufficient for the day as his own troubles. You worry about the one I've given you today. Hallelujah. Someday there will be a global crisis that seems frightening and unmanageable. And before it accelerates, Jesus will return for us, or you and I will go to him. That's a fact of life, and that's what we live by. Amen. Hallelujah. Whether you die or you live, you're still in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Your life is in him. It's inside of him. Hallelujah. That's why now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. And if you do not know Christ, do not walk around in this world today and not finding Christ and getting your life straight with Jesus today. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. You do not own tomorrow, my friends. Today is the day. If you're walking and backsliding and walking away from God, today is the day of salvation. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Hallelujah. We are one day closer to the eternity than ever before, and we have only today to be ready for it. So live this day and trust tomorrow to the provisions of the Father. Live this day. Amen. And live tomorrow to the provisions of the Father. He knows. He said, I can look after the birds. How are you worried about tomorrow for? Amen. Don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat or all the other stuff. I take care of that. Yeah, it will take care of itself. My goodness, that's a faith statement. Amen. That's a faith statement that all of us should be holding on to and walking with. Hallelujah. Don't let fear misguide you. Don't let fear stop you from enjoying the blessings of God that He has prepared for you for the day. Amen. Number two, worry is fruitless. Somebody say, worry is fruitless. Wow. Tell somebody, wow, I didn't know that worry was fruitless. Wow. I just received that this morning. I thought worry was something, but it's what? Fruitless. It does not do anything for you, my friend. Jesus asks us again. He says in Luke chapter 12, verse 25 to 26, he says, which of you, by being what? Anxious, can add a single hour to his life of span? If you then are not able to do as small a thing as that, he says, why are you anxious about the rest? He says, if you cannot even add one life to your life, that's not your job to worry about that. That's his job. Hey, sorry, we got Sunday school, right? Oh, my children. Forgive me. Father, we release the children today. We pray for your blessing, Lord, upon them. Speak to them, God, through the words that we're speaking now. Let them be encouraged, touched, strengthened, transformed by the word. We bring the workers before you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all the mothers and fathers said, amen. Sorry, children. Sorry. My apologies. Everybody got so caught up with the word that they just forgot all about the children too. Hallelujah. Jesus said, why? If you cannot add one lifespan to your life, why are you worried about that? That's my job. You worried about today. You take care of today. Worry provides the sense that we are actually doing something out of fear. But it is an illusion. It is only an illusion. Rather than worry about the future, we should be prepared by doing what we can do and trust God with what we cannot. Amen. Something that you cannot do, you trust God with that. But the things that you can do, you do that. You get that done. And leave everything else that you cannot do to God, because that's His job to take care of the stuff that you cannot actually do. Number three, our Father is the Lord of the universe. Turn to your neighbor and say, wow, I didn't know that. Wow. Your Father is the Lord of the universe. Listen to what Jesus is saying here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 to 31. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your hair, which is, you see mine? He says, even the hairs of your hair are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Our Father measures the world with the palm of His hands. And He's not talking about just the earth. He's talking about the whole universe. He says, my palm covers the whole universe. He measures the universe that you and I live in just with the palm of His hands, my friends. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12 says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of His what? His hands. He puts it like that and looks at the sea and goes, that's the earth right there. But that's the universe. My goodness. That's your God speaking to you this morning. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hands, or with the what? Breath of His hand marked off the heavens. Who has all the dust of the earth in a basket? All the dust of the earth you can count on. Bible says God puts it in a little basket. That's how big Amen. Your God is. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
Amen.
Or weight the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance. He puts mountains that you and I look at on a little balance and balances up. That's the power of your God, my friends. Let this word sink inside of you this morning and understand who your God is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The God that you stand for, the God that you fight for, the God that you witness for, the God that you're constantly talking to your family about. That's the God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of our fathers.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The only living God. Everything else is made of stone and rock. He is the only living God. Hallelujah. He is on the throne of the world today. So let Him be in the throne of your heart this morning.
Amen.
Let it be inside of your heart this morning. The isolation produced by social distancing and fear spawned by this pandemic is an invitation for the followers of Christ to what? Demonstrate the power and the relevance of the gospel-centered community. This is your chance to manifest the power of God
Amen.
To the people. People will be running to the church looking for answers, my friends. And you should not be hiding some corner away somewhere, don't have answers for these people. I was sharing with our brother one time, and he was saying to me, you know, when the churches were built in the days, in the old days in Europe, they were built like a fortified city, huge granite rocks, and everything was just strong towers and everything, because the church is a refuge for people when there's a battle inside against their enemies. People actually run to the church, the physical church, to hide from all the stuff that's coming against them, because the church was a safe place. That's physically talking. But the spiritual side of it is that the church should be still a place of refuge for the people. People that do not know God, listen to me, atheists that says, I don't believe in God, they're searching for Him right now. People that say, I don't believe in God, I don't go to church, they're looking for a church right now. I don't care what you say, and you say, I don't fear. You have fear inside of you. There's always fear, and the enemy will going to use it against you every time. And you will always look for an answer for that. We must have the relevant answers for the relevant time, for the relevant season that you and I are living in today. Hallelujah. The church must be relevant. The power that was present in the book of Acts church in the present day today makes the church relevant. We must use common sense. Yes, we take precautions, but it does not mean we should live in fear. We should not be. I am encouraged to see the church full this morning, because you're here. You're not fearful of all this stuff that's happening. You know who your God is. You're here. The reason why you're here, I know that you carry the power and the presence of God inside of you. You believe in His word. you believe in the promises that he has given us. Psalm 91 was a psalm that was specifically written for Christ. It talks about Jesus. But anyone who puts their trust in God, the Psalm 91 is your psalm. It is a psalm that you can actually quote and walk in. Hallelujah. Anyone who puts God, trust in God, you are immortal until your purpose and time is up. Jesus understood that. Jesus said as much this to his disciples in John chapter 11, verse 7 to 10, when he suggested returning to Judea in verse 8, the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" This is the disciples telling their master, "Why are you going back there again? Didn't they just decide to, they were looking for you to stone you?" Jesus answered, I love the answers, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." You carry the light of Christ inside of you. Doesn't mean that you have to make foolish decisions. Jesus knew that his time was still valid. The Jews will not touch him until he completely fulfilled his purpose. Then he just gladly gave himself to them and says, "All right, I've done everything that I came to do. I'm finished." It was like Paul. "I've been what? Poured out like a drink offering. I'm ready to go." You're sitting here because God has a purpose for you. You're still alive, breathing, strong and healthy because God has a purpose for you. Hallelujah. The Lord speaks to us through Psalm 91 that we can hold on to that promise in the times that we are living in right now. This is true of every believer in Christ. You are kept by the power of God through faith. God keeps you and preserves you until your time is up. Every one of us have a number and a time span. But instead of sitting around fearing about everything that's happening around you, utilize the purpose that God has already given you. Live your life full. So when you die empty and leave everything behind. And you just, naked you came, naked you go. Hallelujah. Leave everything behind. When people come to your gravestone, they go, "Wow, that's the guy. You just died and you arrived and you've established something and then you left." Cemeteries are full of people that just died. God is looking for people that died and left something behind. Leave your purpose. God is not going to take you away until you finish everything that is purpose for you. Amen? Hallelujah. So don't let fear stop you from focusing on what God has already purposed for you. Hallelujah. Instead of hiding in your house and getting paranoid by fear because the television is continually telling you all this stuff, come to church on Saturday morning at 6 o'clock and let's pray together. It is a time and a calling that every man and woman and children must come for prayer. You cannot overcome crisis by hiding behind the corner and worrying about all the stuff that they're throwing to you. Come to church and pray together. We had a powerful prayer meeting on Saturday and it's starting to move something. You want to move something for God? Come to prayer. Bring it to prayer. Let's pray together. Let's stand together. Let's focus on what God has given us instead of hiding and fearing about everything that comes against us. The devil takes every battleground when people that call themselves believers hide in fear of everything. And every time you make an excuse, pastors, leaders, every deacon, every elder, every person sitting here today, every time you make an excuse that is supposed to fulfill God's purpose, you created a void that the enemy will use all the time. And it becomes something inside your heart that it's easy to make excuses. "Oh, I'm just not really bothered today." You've just given the enemy a foothold in your life. Hallelujah. Instead of hiding, instead of fearing, come. 6 o'clock Saturday morning, right here. Pray together for 1 hour. Hallelujah. Create an open heaven. Create a portal in heaven and earth that angels will what discern and ascend. Come on. You guys, you got to understand this. The church is here for that purpose. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Not preaching good messages and keeping people safe. Christians must rise up, take on the cross, and start to do something about what is happening around the world today. Hallelujah. We have a powerful time on prayer on Saturday, and it's starting to build up. Something is happening. God is doing some shift in the mindset of people. 2020 shift. Hallelujah. God first. Revival is coming and nothing will stop it. Not coronavirus, no virus, no AIDS. Nothing will stop the revival and the move of God that's going to come to usher in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the church is not going to sit and sleep and slumber and worry about all that stuff that's happening. Come on, there's a power living inside of you. Oh, I love that word in Romans 8:11. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells inside, bodily inside of you. Therefore, it says, that same spirit will what? Give you life and life abundantly. Oh, come on. That is a word that I've been standing on for 26 years. God, thank you. There's a dynamo power living inside of you, waiting for you to get up and go, we got to do something. 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 1 to 9 says, when a huge army from across the Dead Sea declared war on Judah, and the Bible says, Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast and called the people to the temple to pray. He proclaimed a fast and called the people to pray. If we become people like that, that understand the season and the time that we live in, understand it and go, we got to fast and pray for this. We're going to come together. He called a fast and a prayer and called the people where? To the temple to pray. That principle has not changed. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives and dwells inside of you. When there's a call for prayer, when you come together, you create a power that is more powerful than the atomic bomb that any man has created on this earth. Hallelujah. And yet we stay idle, idle hands, lazy, excuses. And we're dying. The church is dying. A spiritual death. We are creating a generation of Bible illiterate generation of people that do not understand or believe in the Bible. Whose fault is it? The church. We must rise up. Verse 5 says, when Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord, before the new court and said, O Lord of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not a power and might? This is God. This is Jehoshaphat questioning his God, putting the challenge on God. Hallelujah. So that no one is able to withstand you. And are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? In other words, Jehoshaphat was actually reminding God of the covenant that he made with the people. Jehoshaphat reminded the Lord that the Jews were his covenant people, that the temple where Jehoshaphat was praying was God's sanctuary, and the place where he promised to what? Hear the prayers. How much more are you not covenant to God through his blood on the cross? How much more are you not the vessel that carries the presence of the Holy Spirit? You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. How much more? Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells bodily inside of us. Joseph had closed his passionate, fervent appeal to God, and the Bible said, with all Judah stood before the Lord awaiting his answers. Now listen to the answer. This is important for you and I to remember. Verse 14, and the Bible says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. Verse 15, it says, and he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, hallelujah. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismay, because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go against them. Hallelujah. No matter what kind of enemy we are facing, my friends, whether it's a what? Terror by night, or arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday, it brings an illusion of fear. Whatever enemy it is that you can name always brings the illusion of fear. But a man of God, the Bible says, stood up and spoke a word that dispelled all the fear that was happening inside the camp of Israel today. The world is looking for a voice to dispel fear in the lives of people. And you carry that power inside of you. Come to prayer and let God speak to us so that we're able to speak relevant information to the people to destroy fear in people's lives. Hallelujah. I'm talking to born-again, spirit-filled Christians here this morning. Hallelujah. Psalm 91. Let me just bring some principles in Psalm 91. You know, I finished the message and then God in the shower again. The Holy Spirit always speaks to me in the shower. And he encouraged me very clearly. And I thought, wow. I went up there rushing for the pen and I had to type some things down before I forget. And he just reminded me, he says, Psalm 91, God gives us freedom from fear. I pray that whatever you're receiving today will break some fears in your life. Everyone has fear, including Christians. I said before, there's unbelievers inside the church. Number one, attacks made by the enemy under the cover of the night are especially terrifying because the source is hard to identify. When you can't identify the enemy, that's a frightening thought. Amen? Hallelujah. That's happening. Arrows that fly by day. I'm just quoting, just going quickly through Psalm 91. Arrows that fly by day may be understood as what? Literal physical arrows or evil plot and slanders of the wicked words that come against us. Number three, pestilence that walks in the darkness. Physical disease thrives where it is shielded from the sun's rays. Or moral evil that breeds in the dark. You can weight those two scriptures up. It literally means something physical or spiritual. Amen? Hallelujah. Number four, the destruction that lays waste at noonday. These are the four things that brings fear into the lives of every Christian. Four types of dangers that are mentioned that commonly causes fear and apprehension. When you're fearful and apprehension. Whatever it is we love, we, the beloved of Christ Jesus, must understand that we are covered by His protection. The Bible says in Psalm 91, you'll just be a spectator of what's going to happen beside you. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 on your right. You'll be a spectator of it. Hallelujah. That's His promise. The Holy Spirit reassured me this morning as I was pondering on Psalm 91. In verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, for He shall what? Give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Verse 12, it says, in their hands they shall what? Bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And an interesting point that I shared with the music team today. When Satan was tempting Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, verse 10 to 11, Jesus did not deny the verses that were applied to him. He didn't deny that it was applying to him. But he was denying the pretext or the pretense of the enemy trying to tell him what the verse is not. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Verse 14, the Bible says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon... Oh, sorry. That's the wrong one. I'm just going to go there with Psalm 91. When the devil was tempting Jesus, God did not tell him to jump from that pinnacle. Psalm 91, when the devil quoted that scripture, it was out of context to what it meant. The Bible didn't say that you should jump over, commit suicide, or kill yourself so that God will lift you up so that you don't dash your foot on a stone. It says if you what accidentally fall down, the angels will give you charge. They'll be given charge over you. In the hands they shall bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then the devil said, none of the people that are in Christ will accidentally contract coronavirus. You are not going to accidentally contract this thing. Why? Because that word is for you. You're not going to be foolish about it. We're going to take precautions about it. We're going to walk and wash our hands and do all the practical things that are needed to isolate this plague. But it doesn't say that you've got to be foolish about it. It's a similar thing when people make their minds to backslide. When you backslide, backsliding was supposed to be accidentally falling in sin, not planning in your heart to go and do it. When you plan in your heart to go and do something, you're not backsliding. You're actually committing sin. But if you accidentally fall into something, then that's backsliding. That you must realize it and come back to God. When the devil was quoting the scripture, the Bible says, Jesus said, you are quoting everything out of context. You don't literally jump over a pinnacle for God to save you. If you jump over a pinnacle or a tall tower, you'll die. Because you're going against everything and the will of the what the word is actually purposed for. But when the Holy Spirit reminded me of that, I was encouraged. I thought, thank you, God. None of us are going to be touched by this plague that's coming. That's why you're sitting in church today. That's why you're here today. Because you believe that. It's not going to touch me. I'm not going to be foolish about it or go looking for it. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. That's why you can stand on God's word. The angels bear us up lest we dash our foot against a stone. You know, we were driving down from a crusade in Weipa. I'm just going to quickly testify on that. Me and Pastor Peter, we were driving down. And one particular sharp bend, we both fell asleep. Both of us. You know the micro sleep? I had micro sleep on the steering wheel, and he had micro sleep right there, and both of us just dozed off. Split second when we arrived in the corner, and the angels took the car around them. That's the kind of accident or incident I'm talking about. When you are about to be hurt by something, the angels come and they what? Protect you from dashing your foot against the stone. We both woke up after we took the ban, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he goes, wow. And we kept quiet for the next hour, just driving, because something just happened that we've never seen before. He said, wow, bro, were you awake? I said, no, I was asleep. And I looked at him, I said, were you awake? I said, no, I was asleep. Because when we come to the corner, he'll tell me, hey, there's a corner. So we'll talk to ourselves and drive. But that very moment, both of us fell asleep. And the car took the ban on its own. Hallelujah. When we got to the other side, I said to him, bro, the angels drove the car. He says, yeah, no. That's the kind of protection that God's going to give you if you're about to dash your foot against a stone. Not when you go looking for it. If you go looking for the devil or the sin, you'll find him. Hallelujah. So don't try to create things in your heart to go and do it. That's not what God purposed for you. It is the same principle that I've been sharing with you. And the Bible, verse 13 says, and you shall what? Tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. You know, the funny thing was when the devil quoted that scripture to Jesus, he never quoted verse 13. Because if he had quoted verse 13, he would have been proclaiming his own doom and destruction. Hallelujah. So he just quoted the ones that is nice and left his own doom and destruction, because Jesus would have quoted it to him. You shall what? Tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent, you shall what? Tremble underfoot. Hallelujah. My friends, fear should be not your passion this very time we are living in. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, don't fear. Do not fear. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 11, verse 15 says, he who has ears, let him hear. Whatever he says, when he's saying, let him who has ears hear, is telling us to hear and take heed of what he's saying. The enemy knows that the only way he can counteract the word of God is by spreading fear. Voices coming against us all the time. There's always voices coming against us. And television, Facebook and all these things are your worst enemy right now, my friends. There's a lot of fake news happening out there, freaking people out. People are just following everything that the news is telling them. Turn your television off. Turn your phone off. Pick up your Bible. Go into a place called the University of Silence, where John the Baptist and Paul and all these amazing men of God came from. Shut everything down. Go in there with a glass of water, pray, and listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Stop listening to television, Netflix, and all the other stuff that's coming through the world, through you. Shut it down. Create a place of prayer in your house so that you can listen to the Holy Spirit and see all the promises of God come to pass. Hallelujah. Those who have ears allow the Word of God to bear fruit in their lives to the glory of God. It is up to the hearer to decide whether you take the Word seriously, pursue understanding. Unfortunately, only a few can do that. That is a fact of life in church today. Only a few dare to go into that place of silence and listen to God speak. That's the only place that you will break fear inside your life. You cannot break fear by watching television or listening to your friends. Amen. Listening to Tobia and Sanballat. Amen. Listening to Job's wife and Lot's wife. Discouraging you. Telling you it can be done. No, don't go there. No, no. Shut everybody off. Pick up your Bible. A glass of water. Go into your war room and stay inside the university of silence. Oh, I love that. And listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you. That is the only way you can break fear inside your life. Nothing else can. I can guarantee you that. No Phantom Comic, Woman's Weekly, all the other stuff that you're reading will break fear inside your life, except the Word of God and the promises of God and the Holy Spirit hovering over you and living inside of you. Speaking to you, hallelujah. When you shut everything off, you'll start to hear the voice of God.
Amen.
Instead of sitting in front of television, I'm talking to somebody today. Instead of sitting in front of television, come to prayer at 6 o'clock in the morning. Prayer is not for just some handful of people with gray hair and old people in the church. It's for everybody. You're a priest unto your family. Amen. Priest unto the God. Come and pray.
Amen.
And listen to God speaks. And one word from God will dispel fear in the lives of people that are around you. God needs you.
Amen.
Needs you to be standing up and speaking against all that stuff that's coming against the church and your family. We must strain to hear and hear till faith is released in our hearts. We can take appropriate action, but what we hear will determine the outcome of our victory and the progress in God for the church. That is a prophetic word. We must hear until faith is released inside our hearts.
Oh,
I keep saying to you, Joshua generation is not about a young, but a well-instructed generation. That's the difference. A well-instructed generation. When you are instructed by God, then you won't sit down and watch television.
Amen.
Or spend time on Facebook. Talking to people, unnecessary stuff. Go into your quiet place and meet God. The message that I've been bringing to the church, and I've been sharing with the music team and the leadership of this church, the past 2 years are not just messages. They are prophetic instructions that was given to me. When I was just a Christian going to church, people prophesy over my life and I see prophecies come and go, prophecies come and go. The day I took the church, the prophecies meant something. And so when the words of prophecy were spoken to me by the man of God, I took it as instructions and wrote it down. Write it down, the vision, wrote everything down and kept it. And every time I go into the university of silence, God brings a word that aligns and connects to the prophecy. So whatever we've been releasing in the church since 2018 is not just a nice message. It's a prophetic instructions for the church of God to rise up.
Amen.
And I said, I will not stop until I've completely released all the instructions that was given to me by God and through the man of God. Hallelujah. Everything that I received are instructions. Those prophetic instructions were released to me in 2018. So when I became a pastor of this church, this wasn't a game anymore. It's real now.
Amen.
It's real stuff. This is not just going casually to church and worshiping and going casually home. No, this is serious stuff that we have. There's a responsibility of somebody taking this church to where God wants it to be.
Amen.
I am not a prophet. I'm just the doer of the prophetic word. Same as you. You are not a prophet, but you are a doer of the prophetic word. When the preceding word comes, the window of opportunity to receive it and move with it is here. You don't sit and wait for it to pass you. John the Baptist was a prophet that received the preceding word and moved with it. Everybody else was prophesying it. And the prophecies were the same. This is how you should live. He's coming back. This is how you should live. He's coming back. This is how you should live. He's coming back. Prophecies have not changed. Get your life in order with God. He's coming back. Walk in righteousness with God. He's coming back. Be holy for I am holy. He's coming back. Be blameless before God. He's coming back. The prophecies have not changed. It's still the same. And John saw it, received it, and moved with it. Hallelujah. I am but a voice of God, just like you. You are a voice of God, receiving instructions and moving with it. Not for your own purpose or your own good, but for the purpose of the church and for what God is doing with the church. Hallelujah. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants and prophets. I was serious. And I can't go anywhere else except where God is taking me. And I said before, I said, I will stop preaching the kind of messages I preach when God tells me to stop. But as long as I'm here with breath, life inside of me, I will go the same path in preparing the church and getting the church into the place of holiness and righteousness and blameless before God. Why? He's coming back for a church without what? Blameless and spotless. That's really what it is. That's what it all boils down to. There's nothing else. So whenever you have received from the pulpit, it's not just sermons. They're just what? Instructions. And only those who have ears will what? Hear. Jesus said, let those who have ears hear. Not hear from here, come out of here, and then just live life like the world. The whole world is going to hell. A lot of Christians are living like that. Instead of listening to the prophetic word and the prophetic time and the season that we're living in and doing something about it. Hallelujah. We have a short time left on this planet Earth, and we must be called and do what we are called to do. We don't have time. We don't have time to be playing church and playing nice church and doing all the nice things. We don't have time for that. Hallelujah. The church today is struggling to take battlegrounds and hold on to the battlegrounds because Christians have a mindset of a congregation. Somebody say amen to that. And leaders can have a mindset of a congregation. Congregation mindset is a spirit that nearly crippled Israel. And God had to kill that spirit inside the desert and take a new mindset of instructed generation into the promised land. God is looking for a generation well instructed in his word to move. Not congregation mindset. It's a dangerous thing. Congregation mindset is a religious spirit. Oh, murmuring everything. Oh, complaining about everything. Oh, this. Shut up. I said it again. You know, shut up has become a really good word used in the church now. And I've been using it a lot. Sometimes God wants us to just shut up. And listen to what he's saying. He's trying to reach the world and we are in the way. With so many programs and so many activities and so many all these other stuff. Discipline is a powerful word. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Disciple means disciplined ones. People who get the report from this book. People who are not easily talked out of a mission. People who pick up the cross and follow Christ and stay on the cross. People who are hearing from the right source. The question is, who are you hearing from? What source are you hearing from? Is it Sanballat? Is it Tobiah? Is it Lot's wife? Is it Job's wife? What spirit or what source are you receiving your information from? Because that determines your life. And if you're living in fear, you are getting information from the wrong source. Hallelujah. God is looking for high maintenance, low maintenance people with high impact. Yes, amen. I am looking for high maintenance, low maintenance people with high impact. Amen. The church is looking for low maintenance people with high impact. Amen. High maintenance people, I don't want to deal with them. Because they take so much out of you. They draw so much out of you. Tired of following after people that are doing the same thing, same sin, living the same thing, going around in circles, chasing the tails everywhere. These are high maintenance people with low impact in the church. God is looking for low maintenance people. Easy to deal with, easy to maintain. But when they move, they create a high impact inside the church. Hallelujah. That's not a congregation mindset. That's the mindset of a son and a daughter who stands on the foundation that Jesus said, you can now call my father Abba Father, because he's your father too. It's a family affair. When I understand the principle, Jesus preached to the multitude, talk to the family. Preach to the multitude, talk to the family. Preach to the multitude, teach the family. Amen. Family mindset will take the church forward. Not a congregation mindset that will take a church forward. Hallelujah. That's what 2020 shift, God first, is all about. We will stand that for a whole year and see God creating some changes inside the mindset of people. Hallelujah. The church will engage principalities and powers of high places. Mark my word, my friends. We're already planning crusades and doing all this stuff, connecting with the local churches to go and impact the local churches. And our focus is our local indigenous churches. We went to visit them. They're hungry. They're crying, Pastor, we need help. We need help. We need help. We went to Mosman Gorge and met with the pastor up there, and the Wujul and Hovell and Mount Garnet, Laura, all this local church that people forget all about. And pastors are struggling. I said, you wait. We're going to come. We're going to come and we're going to work with you. And we're going to create something inside the local church that people around will start to sing. Because something is happening there. We're planning to do a lot of things. The story of Nehemiah is a wonderful principle that I just wanted to bring to you before I close. Nehemiah had a lot of opposition when he embarked on the idea to build the wall of Jerusalem. And one of the things that I've noticed as a pastor is some of those things that we deal with every time with the congregational mindset people. Notice when his opposition came, not at the heart stage, not when he was crying to God, and not when he received the information from the people and his heart broke about the condition of the wall in Jerusalem. No opposition there. Not at the vision stage when he had the vision and God started giving him ideas and visions to move this thing. No opposition there. Not at the prayer stage where he was praying and crying out to God and fasting. No opposition there. Not at the planning stage when he was planning to move everything and get things done. No opposition there. But when the progress came in doing something, when he was about to actually get up and go to that place and do it, that's when the opposition comes. Amen. And our lives as Christians are like that. You can pray and talk about it and plan it and talk about it till the cars come home, but the moment you just get up to go and do something, then the opposition comes. Yes. And that's where we all fail, because the opposition is too much. Pastors, leaders, Christians, people that are ordinary men and women of God, when you're planning something in God, the opposition comes when you're actually getting up to go and do it. The devil throws everything at you when he knows that you're not just a talker, blowing hot hair everywhere, praying about it. How long can you pray for something? There's a length of time where you can pray for something. Now get up and go and do it. And that's a burden that we face in church every time as a pastor. We talk about things, we plan it, and when we're about to go and do it, the enemy comes in. There's a principle in there. I'm just sharing that with you before we close. God is going to take us to another place that we've never been before. Uncharted waters, I call it. And uncharted waters, people don't like uncharted waters. People like familiar things. They want to see things. I like to go and swim where I can see the bottom, yeah? Especially in far north Queensland. You want to know where everything is before you can put your feet in. And I understand that. But when we go to uncharted waters, we are looking at God. He's the one that's going to tell us to move. When the pillar of cloud moves, hallelujah, we follow. When the fire by night moves, we follow. That's really what we're boiling down to now, is uncharted waters. Our mindset changed inside the church. 40 years. Just remember Caleb. He was so angry. He said, man, I'm just here 40 years and I've got to be another 40 years. No. And when he finally got across, he says, give me that mountain. I'm tired of everything else. See that mountain, Joshua? I'll have that. That's for sitting around the desert, all this. People that complaining, murmuring, and talking about everything else. Hallelujah. Some people fear ever stepping out of the Lord because they know the opposition will come. They somehow think that their life will be better off or easier if they stay in their low, mediocre state or Christian walk and just don't do anything. Oh, don't move that table. Don't say anything too. Just be quiet. That's what the devil wants the church to be in. Shut your mouth so that you can say anything. No. We are not going to be shutting our mouths. We are not here to be put in a corner, surrounded by every kind of fear. Hallelujah. When I talk like that, I just get so fired up. I thought, God, thank you. I hope these people are getting it. If they get it, my goodness, this church, the church of Jesus Christ, will be an advancing force. No gates of hell, no coronavirus, no nothing. No, hey, listen, the church is still advancing. Everything that has been thrown against it has not worked. We are still moving on. The church is still moving on. The church of Jesus Christ is still moving on. Hallelujah. So don't worry about those things. Hallelujah. That is when the relevant church must step out and bring relevant answers for the relevant season. We have to be relevant. We have to. Everything that comes out has to be relevant. I was very encouraged. Jen, can I share that quickly before I close? Jen sent me a message on email, and it was talking about our podcast. And our podcast has been heard all over the world. And just recently, that really blessed me when I heard that, is that people in Wuhan have been listening to our podcast. And I'm not saying this because I feel special in any kind of way, or we're special in any kind of way. We are not. But people will listen to a message that is relevant for the season. When you preach a message that has never been preached in church ever before, people will tend to your podomatic and listen to it. Wherever they are in the world, and Jen will give you all the information on that. And I was really encouraged. That's why I said, it is nothing that I've prepared. It is just instructions given to me. So I know that when we become a people that move with the instruction or prophetic instruction of God, that word is relevant for the season. Amen. And so people everywhere in the world will tune to our little podomatic little website and download stuff and listen to it. Why? Because the word is relevant for the season. Amen. There's so many messages being preached in churches. People creating messages and finding messages, and you can find them everywhere. Click on Facebook and you'll find them. Click on websites and you'll find a sermon all prepared for you. But when you deliver a prophetic instruction to people, it's a totally different impact. It carries a different power. Everything that I've been speaking about is nothing different. It's just prophetic instructions. Man of God, do that. Man of God, do that. This is what you're going to be. This is what the church is going to be. There's two prophecies that was given to me. One for the church and one for myself. And I gave the one for the church away. But for me, hallelujah, things that God speaks to me is mine and mine alone. Hallelujah. I want shade to no pigs, because the pigs will take it and trample on it and then kick it out of the door and they will not run with me. But I will share it with the people that have no congregation mindset. People say, Pastor, we are with you. We are with you. We are with you. Let's do this. Let's get it together. That's why I preach to the congregation, speak to the leaders. Speak to the congregation, speak to the family. Speak to the congregation, share the prophecy with the people that are close with me. And then you start to find that people will download stuff and go, wow, that is fresh. You know, I've heard it before, but I can hear it again. It's different. I'm encouraged about that. That means that what I'm doing is relevant for the season. What we are doing as a church is relevant for the season. It's nothing to be proud of. Everything comes from God, was given to us. I am just like you, a voice that delivers the message. That's it. He is coming back. Prepare yourself. He's coming back. Live like that. He's coming back. Be blameless before God. He's coming back. Walk in righteousness. He's coming back. Worship Him and Him alone.
Amen.
Message does not change. John the Baptist spoke the same messages that we are speaking today. And Christians, rise up from your seat. Rise up from your slumbering bed. Walk away from it. And the Bible says, and God will what? Shine His light upon you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. Have a mindset change of 2020. We are not going to be living the same. The moment we cross into 2021, it's going to be a different charted water altogether. Hallelujah. I was encouraged by a man of God saying, when you take the church into a place that's like that, many will come against you, and many will talk against you, and many will walk away. I said, that's fine. I'm prepared to do that. I'm prepared to say what I have to say. So I'm not really worried because that's His church.
Amen.
He built His church. That's His business. He's in the business of completing everything He started. All He needs, my friends, listen to me, all He needs is you and I to make ourselves available.
Amen.
That's all He needs. He doesn't need any special thing from you, or you have to learn this and become that and Bible college train and get this theology for this and theology for that. No, He does not need that. All He needs is, I just want a man and a woman. They will say, God, use me. And not say it ignorantly. A lot of Christians walking around, God, use me. When He wants to use him, oh, you know, it's a bit tired now, and I don't have time to over there. I'm working shift, and my job is that way and that way. And don't you ever ask God to use you when you're like that.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God is looking for people. People. There's a cry coming from heaven. Where the true sons and daughters of God? The whole creation is rising up. The coconut tree is saying, where is my brother? Coconut tree saying, the mango tree is saying, where's Jerry? The dogs are saying, he said he was a Christian, but he's really not. The cats and all the animals are looking at us and going, they're supposed to be the creation. We're supposed to be looking forward to what they're going to be doing. And we're sitting there. Come on, that's an encouragement to you this morning. Hallelujah. Let it sit inside your heart and say, thank you, Pastor. I received that and I'm going to do something about it. Well, you know what? The next step you're going to do? Step into the university of silence. Hallelujah. That's where God starts to speak to you. Turn your TV off. Divorce your wife. No, don't do that. Did I just say that? I think I'm in trouble. Shut everybody off. You know what I mean, okay? Quiet and go and listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing and what He's saying. I mean that with all my heart and all my soul and all my spirit to you. We are in a time of people living in fear and they're looking for answers. And when you tap into that place, I love to call it the University of Silence, where you just spend time with God and He speaks. That's all God is looking for. God is not worried about your accolades or how many degrees you got in science, how many degrees you got in theology. He just wants an ordinary person that He can fill up with the power of the Holy Spirit, that can deliver the instructions that He's given to us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up, let's pray. I'm going to release the power of God over your life today. Release an anointing upon your life. Break every yoke, break every excuse. Hallelujah. My friends, don't worry about any virus. Don't worry about any sickness. The Bible says you're not going to get it. The Holy Spirit has reassured us that there's nothing like that will happen to you accidentally. Amen. Psalm 91 is your word. You pray that over your family. Psalm 91, you pray over your family. And Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26, you pray that over your family. Pray it over your household. Pray it over your children. Pray it over. Those two verse scriptures. Pray it over them. Speak it over them. Hallelujah. Proclaim it over them. Over your life. Over your business. Over your job. Hallelujah. Let's just sing as we declare the goodness of God. And then I'll pray. Hallelujah. If you're living in fear today, raise your hands. Fear, God's going to break it in your life today. We should not be living in fear. We should live in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but never in fear. Hallelujah.
Because He lives.
Hallelujah. Raise your hands and let's declare that this morning.
I confess.